All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melonheads of the world. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Happy Monday, everybody. Today's January 12th, 2026. How many times have I said it? I know I've said it over and over again. I've said it so much that a lot of you guys have started quoting this back to me. There's just not enough gold in the world for what's coming. Over and over again for the last, 2 years, that particular phrase. I've been uttering it over and over. Well, this morning, gold broke for the first time, $4,600 an ounce, a new all-time high. Silver says, hold my beer, $85 silver. Holy shit. I mean, think about where we were 2 years ago when we were all talking about how silver's price was suppressed and the opening price slams. And, you know, we even went under $20 for a while there. $85 for an ounce of silver right now. And what is driving this? Well, yesterday, oh my goodness, this was just a punch in the stomach when I saw this. Jerome Powell releases a video at the Federal Reserve late on Sunday. And I knew as soon as I saw this pop up on my feed, I'm like, oh no, this is not good. Jerome Powell does not address the nation on a Sunday night out of nowhere. And it turns out late Friday, when most people are distracted by the start of their weekend, the Department of Justice sent a subpoena to the Federal Reserve threatening a criminal indictment, I'm assuming of Jerome Powell personally. We didn't get that detail in the article, but threatening criminal indictments over Powell's testimony before Congress relating to the renovations at the Federal Reserve. And by the way, if you really think this story is about a lie or not a lie that Powell told about the renovations at the Federal Reserve and being good stewards of taxpayer money, if you really think that is what this is about, well, I've got a daycare in Minneapolis I want to sell to you, because that's not what this is about. This is about the Fed doing what the president wants. Now, look, I have not spared the criticism of Jerome Powell since starting this channel. I have heaped it on, actually, quite liberally. I have heaped the criticism of Jerome Powell. I am not one to rush to the defense of the Federal Reserve. I don't think the institution should exist in the first place. But understand what's going on here, guys. This is not a fight between the Fed and the government where one side is trying to hold the line and protect the average person and defend the working man from the destruction of his savings and the debasement of his wages by the money printing and the lowering of interest rates. And then the other side is like, no, we want to steal the savings of Americans and we want to debase wages further and make all those charts on WTF happen in 1971.com even worse. That's not the fight here. This is not a fight between do it or don't to the average person. This is a fight between, are we going to screw the average person through monetary debasement, or are we going to screw the average person through monetary debasement even more? That's what this fight is about. This is not a do we or don't we. It's a how much are we going to do this to the average person? Because the Federal Reserve is already lowering interest rates and printing money again into inflation that is already higher than their 2% target. And President Trump is threatening criminal action against them if they don't do it even more. Holy shit, no wonder gold is $4,600 an ounce and why silver is $85 an ounce. This is a power play by President Trump. He is trying to seize control of the money printer by installing people that he wants in there who will just flood the system with money, further inflating asset prices, paying for things like the $1.5 trillion defense budget that he called for last week. Good God. Yeah. Is it a wonder people are going to gold this morning? And I guess I'm surprised by how quickly this is happening. I knew this was going to happen. If you recall, any of you guys who've been watching this channel since before, let's go back to last fall before the election. I said, look, guys, if Trump wins, they're going to cut rates and print money. If Harris wins, they're going to cut rates and print money. They're going to spend it on something different. It's going to smell different, but no matter what, the outcome was going to be the same. Didn't I say that over and over again last fall? And here we are, and it's exactly what's happening. Now, look, that wasn't the only big story of government overreach into the financial system in the last 48 hours. I mean, fresh off of this announcement last week that Fannie and Freddie were going to buy $200 billion worth of mortgage bonds, artificially suppressing mortgage interest rates and further inflating housing prices. Then on Friday, we also got President Trump announcing an executive order to cap interest rates at 10% on credit cards. And I'm sure that was music to the ear of anybody who went out and irresponsibly ran up five figures worth of credit card debt, and they've been drowning in it, and the balance is growing faster than they can make payments. I'm sure that sounded like great news to them. But understand what that really means. That means banks are going to cut people's credit cards. They're going to cut them off. All right. Now, interest rates are the price of money. That's an important relationship to understand. When you hear interest rates, I want you to think the price of money. And so when you put a cap on interest rates, what are you talking about? You're talking about price controls on money. And what happens with price controls? Every single time, price controls lead to shortages because they deny market signals about the scarcity and the demand and the supply of things. And so what is the shortage this is going to lead to? It's going to lead to people's credit cards being cut off. And so we've got bank stocks, especially banks like Capital One that issue a lot of credit cards. They are selling off hard this morning. But interestingly enough, buy now, pay later firms are surging. Now, this is interesting. All right, let's think about this for a minute. If this 10% on credit cards means banks will not loan to people unless they can get an adequate compensation for their risk, and so they're just not going to make these loans at all, why would buy now, pay later companies be surging on that news? Buy now, pay later doesn't charge that kind of interest. Buy now, pay later actually offers no interest on a lot of their stuff. Buy now, pay later offers loans to people with even worse credit than the banks offer the credit card. So why are buy now, pay later firms surging here? Because people who borrow money with no intention of ever paying it back will be driven from credit card debt to buy now, pay later debt. And buy now, pay later firms are lying about their delinquencies and lying about who's paying them back. I don't know how. I haven't caught them in the act doing it, but what they're doing defies logic. It doesn't pass the sniff test. And those company stocks are ripping this morning because all these deadbeat borrowers are just going to run to buy now, pay later. Oh, and there's one buy now, pay later firm that's interesting. I wonder if that might have anything to do with this executive order. Stick around. We'll talk about that one in the middle of the show. We got more rare earth news this morning. President Trump's Department of War, or DOD, whatever we call it these days, they have signed a new partnership agreement with Pinnacle Asset Management for $150 million for the DOD to take a stake in a company that produces alumina and gallium. Another rare earth story here. Gallium is a vital material that's used in radar and it's used in missiles. It is a huge weakness in the defense supply chain. And so this company down in New Orleans is going to be the first domestic producer of gallium. Again, we're shifting to this wartime economy. We got big news over in Iran. And by the way, let me just give a special one-finger salute to Sam Altman and Jensen Huang and everybody in the AI space who have made it so impossible to tell what is real and what isn't real in Iran over these last few weeks, because there's so much AI slop masquerading as real news coming out of Iran. At the same time, the Ayatollahs and the mullahs are blacking out the internet. So, you know, between the dystopian and tyrannical crackdown on the flow of information and then the outright flow of fake information from Silicon Valley, it's impossible to know what's what in Iran. But what we do know is the Iranian government is now claiming to have quelled the protests that have been rocking the country in every province and dozens of cities over the last few weeks. At least 500 people are dead. And now the big question is, what is the U.S. military going to do? Are we going to bomb them again? We've basically said, if you start killing protesters, we're going to blow up your stuff. And, well, they started killing protesters. But the real question on everybody's mind, what I want to know, is when will Greta's boat, when will Greta's relief convoy reach Iran? We haven't heard anything about that yet. That's interesting. Also going on right now, the UK is threatening to seize Russian Shadow Fleet tankers, saying that the legal basis may exist. And, oh, yes, legal scholars are debating the framework of whether, who are we kidding? International law has flown out the window here. Might makes right these days. They're either going to seize the boats or they're not. And it looks like the UK is getting ready to start seizing these Russian tankers, even as the US is doing the same thing in and around Venezuela. War is pretty much already being waged on the high seas these days, guys. We got the Department of Transportation has just stripped $160 million of funding from California because California has missed a deadline to restrict and to cancel a bunch of non-DOM CDLs, basically commercial driver's licenses to illegal immigrants that they issued. A big crackdown on trucking supply is underway. Shout out to Craig Fuller from FreightWaves who came on the channel a few weeks to talk about this one. So now the federal government is withdrawing funding from California because they refuse to participate in that crackdown. Abercrombie and Fitch stock is getting crushed this morning. We got a little bit of insight into the holidays from a number of retailers. Some good, some okay. Abercrombie and Fitch cut their guidance. That stock is getting clobbered on that news. And we've got an interesting story about private credit. There has been an exodus of investors from private credit business development companies recently. And yet these companies all have ample liquidity available to meet this massive surge of investor withdrawals. Whatever could be happening in the world of private credit, stick around to the end of the show. You're going to want to know what's going on there. It affects your retirement. In the meantime, why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. Don't forget that like button. You new guys, hit that subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads because we do this every single business day. And right now we've got the S&P 500 is down 37 points, about a half a percent lower. The Dow is down 300 points, 0.61% lower this morning. Stocks are not looking so good here. And the NASDAQ is leading the way off by 0.75%, 193 points lower for the NASDAQ. Tech stocks are selling off here, which is pretty interesting on this Fed news. The best I can come up with is this is people's inflation expectations are coming roaring back based on this Trump assault on the Federal Reserve. And so tech stocks are largely valued on future earnings. And if inflation is going to get worse, which it almost certainly will, well, then future earnings will be worth less. So tech is disproportionately hurt by that. Meanwhile, the dollar is also getting weaker this morning. Not surprising given that Fed news and that credit card news from late last week. 98.80 on the DXY, off by 34 basis points. Weaker dollar should be putting upward pressure on asset prices. It ain't working for stocks. Looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are moving a little bit higher here, but not all that much. Now, this is interesting because we're seeing the move in tech stocks and the move in the dollar and gold and silver, all anticipating future inflation, but the bond market not really reacting that strongly, at least not yet. We'll have to see what happens later on today. The 30-year yield, 4.847. That's higher by almost 3 basis points. The 10-year yield is at 4.183. That's up by a point and change. The 2-year is actually down 3.539, off by a fraction of a point. And the 1-month is pretty much unchanged, up a fraction of a point here, 3.620%. Now, Bitcoin's trading action is interesting here this morning. We're at $90,543 for Bitcoin. Let's change this to hourly candles, though. And you can see here the initial news of the Federal Reserve being under attack by the DOJ or whatever rhetoric you want to use. All right, Trump's going after the Fed. It's call it what it is. Forget the silly team sport of politics for a second. But look, Bitcoin initially rallies on that news, and then Bitcoin starts selling off. And now we're actually lower than we were when this story first broke. This is kind of interesting because Bitcoin is often compared to tech stocks, and Bitcoin is often compared to inflation hedges like gold and silver. And right now, Bitcoin is behaving more like a tech stock than an inflation hedge. And I think that has to do with where we are in the halving cycle here. So pay attention to this one. I'm a little surprised to see Bitcoin's price behavior like this morning. But of course, all the fireworks are in the metal space. Let's start with spot gold, $4,594. That's higher by 84.5 bucks, or 1.88% higher. February COMEX gold futures above $4,600 for the first time, just off the highs of the morning of 4,630, but up $104, 2.32%. These $100 moves in gold and silver, they're not supposed to be normal. Well, we haven't had a $100 move in silver yet. Don't threaten me with a good time. But speaking of silver, look at that, 84.45 off the highs of the morning. We peaked at 85.69, but still up $4.42, 5.5% higher. COMEX silver futures for March, 84.36, down from a high of 85.72. We were actually flirting with 86 bucks at one point this morning, up by $5, 6.4% higher. Another big move in silver. I like the shiny. Guys, we're going to be talking about 90 bucks in no time here. Copper is higher by 0.75%, $5.94 for March copper futures. We've got platinum is actually kind of a muted move in platinum and palladium here, up about 2.5% each for platinum and palladium. And crude oil is going a whole bunch of nowhere, 2 cents higher, $58.96 for WTI crude March futures. Let's take a look at some of the charts, shall we? That silver chart, just unbelievable here. This upward trend is intact. The one thing I would note, guys, is, yeah, we have been in this uptrend, and we're still in it. And, yeah, you can draw the top end of the channel there. A little sloppy with my lines, I know. But note the increase in the volatility here, right? When you start to see the volatility increasing, that can be indicative that the trend is running out of steam. I'm not saying we're at the top here, especially not if we're going to be indicting Federal Reserve governors. But that being said, you can't help but ignore that increase in the volatility just over these last 2 weeks here. But this is just a really good looking chart. And it's also worth pointing out that China is still sharply higher here. Shout out to Oriental Ghost on Twitter by Zhao Jun, who posts that the Shanghai silver price, 93.27. Now, it's also important to remember, guys, this 93.27 price in Shanghai, it is going to put an upward pressure on the prices in the West. But also keep in mind that there is a 13% VAT tax involved in moving metal from the U.S. or from London into China. So when you see these, you know, these quotes, oh, $93 in China, understand built into that is that tax to get metal into the country. So it's not, it doesn't necessarily mean London and New York are going to go to 93 bucks. It doesn't even automatically mean that that metal is flying into China, because you've got to pay that tax to get it in there. So you're always going to have something of a premium here. But that being said, 93 handle on silver. Again, it just, it's amazing how far we've come here. And like I said, gold is along for the ride. Gold's looking a little better. And also, I'm relieved to see gold moving higher here as well. One of the things that had me a little bit worried about the increasing volatility in the silver chart was the fact that for at least the last couple of weeks, gold had been making a much smaller move versus silver. You know, I think silver was due to outperform gold, but I mean, guys, within a span of about 5 months, we went from 105 on the gold to silver ratio to 55. That is a massive outperformance for silver. So seeing this big move in gold this morning makes me feel a little bit better that at least this move in silver is supported by a commensurate move in gold. And of course, looking at the gold to silver ratio, plumbing the depths of 54.45 this morning. Again, guys, just back in March, in April, we peaked at 105 on the gold to silver ratio. And since then, it has been straight down. And if you're in our Patreon group, you know, on our weekly calls, I've been pounding the table on physical metal all summer because of that gold to silver ratio being as high as it was. And well, look where we're at now, under 55. By the way, that red line there at 65, that's the average of about the last 40 years. I use my lifespan to determine what is the average. So, you know, silver right now, look, just looking at the gold to silver ratio in 2011, the last time silver went bonkers, we bottomed out around 30 in the gold to silver ratio. So if we are going to go as wild as we went in 2011, that means silver still has plenty of room to outperform gold here before we get up to those levels. And if you go all the way back to 1980, which I'm not going to do, it'll take me a while to get there in the charts. I think it was 13 is what we bottomed out in the gold to silver ratio. So as much as silver has dramatically outperformed gold here, it could continue for quite a while before we get too stretched in historical terms. All right. So here's the story that set all of this in motion. Fed served with DOJ subpoenas and Powell vows to stand firm. This story broke late last night. Apparently the subpoena went out Friday, and the Fed sat on this, marinated on it all weekend, probably met with their lawyers and determined, hey, we're going to put out this video, take our case directly to the public. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said the U.S. Central Bank had been served grand jury subpoenas from the Justice Department threatening a criminal indictment, a dramatic escalation of the Trump administration's attacks on the institution, In a forceful written and video statement released Sunday evening, Powell said the action was related to his June congressional testimony on ongoing renovations at the Fed's headquarters. But he said the move should be seen in the broader context of the administration's threats and ongoing pressure. Look, the Fed has been spending a ridiculous amount of money on renovating their business. It's horrible optics, especially when the rest of the world is struggling with the cost of living increase that was caused by the inflation that the Fed themselves caused. So that they're making themselves a sitting duck for this. It was stupid to do this big renovation in the context of what they had just done to the world. So in a lot of ways, they deserve this. And again, I'm not one to rush to the defense of the Fed by any measure. But guys, you have to keep in mind the context here. This is all about Trump trying to force interest rates lower and the money printers to spin back up, which the Fed is already doing, which means he wants it even more. The threat of criminal charges is a consequence of the Federal Reserve setting interest rates based on our best assessment of what will serve the public rather than following the preferences of the president, Powell said. This is about whether the Fed will be able to continue to set interest rates based on evidence and economic conditions, or whether instead monetary policy will be directed by political pressure or intimidation. Now, that statement right there by Powell is BS, because the Fed doesn't set interest rates based on evidence or economic conditions. The Fed sets interest rates based on an endlessly inflating asset bubble that makes the bankers that own the Federal Reserve increasingly wealthy. All right, so the Fed is not innocent here. But again, the important thing here, guys, is this is two nearly all-powerful government, non-government institutions fighting, not over whether or not to screw you over. They are fighting over the extent to which they will screw you over. That is what this fight is about. And that's just terrifying, which is why I always say there's not enough gold in the world for what's coming. Powell was first elevated to the chair role in 2018 by Trump. While his current term as chair will expire in May, his underlying post as Fed governor doesn't end until 2028. He hasn't indicated whether he intends to depart in May or stay on at the central bank. Trump has said that he already picked his nominee to replace Powell. He has not named Powell's successor, but Kevin Hassett, the director of the National Economic Council, is a front runner. All right, so that's what set this whole thing in motion. But that wasn't even the one, or wasn't even the only case of the government intervening in interest rates and monetary policy in just the last couple of days. Capital One drops 10% and other banks hit after Trump calls for credit card rate cap and affirm gains. Banks and financial service stocks slid Monday after U.S. President Trump called for a one-year cap on credit card interest rates at 10%. Capital One shares dropped 10% in pre-market trading. Citigroup lost 4%. JPM down 3%. Bank of America, 2.3%. Visa down almost 2%. MasterCard down 2% and change. Financial services names were also affected as Amex fell 4.8%. Wells Fargo lost 2%. Morgan Stanley down about 1%. The financials are getting clobbered here. The cap would come into force on January 20th, according to a post on Truth Social on Friday, though Trump did not provide additional details on how it would work. We don't really make laws this way. We don't. Truth Social doesn't determine what interest rates are. I mean, I'm no legal scholar, but I think it's a little more complicated than that. Maybe I need to go watch that Schoolhouse Rock, How a Bill Becomes a Law. I don't recall Truth Social being included in there, but I digress. Effective January 20th, 2026, I, as President of the United States, am calling for a one-year cap on credit card interest rates of 10%, Trump wrote, echoing a pledge he made during the 2024 presidential campaign. Please be informed that we will no longer let the American public be ripped off by credit card companies, he said. No, the American public can only be ripped off by the central bank, which I try to control. A cap would require approval from Congress. There has long been interest in curbing fees, and bipartisan bills to cap credit card interest rates at 10% have previously been introduced, highlighting potential appetite for the move. Take a look at a couple of the moves here. Capital One Financial, this stock down 7.25%, slightly off the lows of the morning. Maybe the market is starting to realize, hey, the legal basis for this move isn't really there. Buy now, pay later stocks like Affirm Holdings are ripping on this news, or not so much now. They were up almost 5% earlier today. Now they're up only about 1.5%. Now there's one more company I want to draw attention to. This stock is now down pre-market. It was up a few percent pre-market. PSQ Holdings. the ticker PSQH. This is Public Square, a company that owns Credova, a buy now, pay later provider, which stands to benefit immensely if this cap in credit card interest goes through. And it's interesting because I believe it's Don Jr., one of the Trump sons, I'm pretty sure it's Don Jr., is on the board of directors of Public Square Holdings, which controls Credova, the buy now, pay later firm, which stands to benefit immensely from this. And, well, that's worth pointing out. We talked about Hunter's art dealings during the last administration, so we would be remiss if we didn't point out conflicts such as this. Also going on this morning, Trump administration takes a stake in critical mineral firm Italco. Trump Stakes, spelled S-T-A-K-E, is a new thing this time around. The Trump administration is taking a $150 million equity stake in to build the U.S.'s only big producer of gallium, a critical mineral used in satellite systems and military radar. And again, military radar, that also includes missiles, most of which are radar guided and have their own radar seekers in the warheads or in the nose cone of them. So yeah, this is about making missiles domestically. The Defense Department and an affiliate of Pinnacle Asset Management are set to announce a strategic partnership Monday involving Atlantic Alumina, or Italco, which has been turning bauxite into alumina just outside of New Orleans since the late 1950s. Alumina is a fine white powder used to make aluminum. The deal is the latest example of the Trump administration's unprecedented push to invest directly in companies it views as critical to U.S. national security. It took a stake in chipmaker Intel last year while also negotiating a golden share in U.S. Steel as part of its takeover of Japan's Nippon Steel. I'm sorry, its takeover by Japan's Nippon Steel. That's important. The Pentagon has invested $150 million of preferred equity in Italco, which will use that money and another $300 million from Pinnacle to boost alumina production and also establish the country's first and only large-scale gallium production circuit, according to a statement reviewed by Bloomberg News. The U.S. government is expected to provide additional funding within 30 days of closing. This strategic partnership is an essential step in reducing reliance on foreign nations for critical minerals, Italco said. Look, almost 100% of global gallium is produced in China, and we need gallium to make the radar seekers of missiles, which would, let's face it, most likely be fired at Chinese missiles or Chinese planes or boats. And so it stands to reason that the Chinese would stop selling us gallium at some point, which is why we better figure out how to make it ourselves. Meanwhile, Iran claims it quelled protests even as unrest continues. This story has been developing for a couple of weeks, guys. Let's just say a lot of geopolitical things are up in the air right now. It's really hard to know what's real coming out of this country and what is propaganda at this point. But one thing is clear, the unrest in Iran is the worst it has been since the 1970s. Is it enough to topple this regime? I don't know. I would not shed any tears for this regime were it to topple. That being said, again, it's hard to know if this is it or not. Iran's foreign ministry said security forces have full control of the country after 2 weeks of violent unrest as the government held counter demonstrations against those demanding an end to the Islamic Republic. Abbas Araghchi's, I'm sure I mispronounced that, his claim on Monday is yet to be fully tested since the most severe protests, in which hundreds are reported to have been killed, have taken place at night. Guys, state TV stations have been burned down, government buildings, police stations have been burned down, and this unrest has been very widespread and very severe. In the meantime, videos on social media appear to show protesters' funerals, with attendees heard shouting death to Khamenei, the country's supreme leader. Bloomberg is unable to verify the footage. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Jensen. State TV broadcast footage of pro-regime rallies from various cities, saying they've been organized to promote national unity and to condemn the recent terrorist attacks. Protests in Iran erupted on December 28th after the sudden collapse in the value of the currency. They broadened into the biggest and most violent challenge to the rule of Ayatollah Khamenei and the Islamic Republic since it was established after the 1979 revolution that ousted a pro-U.S. monarch. More than 540 people have been killed and over 10,000 arrested, according to the Human Rights Activist News Agency, which is tracking demonstrations in 186 cities. Iran has shut down the internet. They have shut down TV stations. They're doing everything they can to try to restrict the flow of information here. So, guys, the one thing I would tell you is just take what you read and what you see on the internet with a grain of salt and try to verify everything before you go repeat things There's just so much fake information flooding the internet these days. Meanwhile, the UK can legally stop Shadow Fleet tankers, ministers believe. This is just an act here. They're going to take the tankers or they're not going to take the tankers. They don't really care about the law. They're just going to do what they want. But you can see them making the case here. The government has identified a legal basis which it believes can be used to allow UK military to board and detain vessels in so-called shadow fleets, BBC News understands. Russia, Iran, and Venezuela have all been accused of operating ships without a valid national flag to avoid sanctions on oil. Last week, British Armed Forces assisted U.S. troops in seizing the Marinara oil tanker, which American officials accuse of carrying oil for Venezuela, Russia, and Iran, breaking U.S. sanctions. To date, no UK military personnel have boarded any vessels, but officials have spent the last few weeks exploring what measures could be used. The Sanctions and Money Laundering Act from 2018 can be used to approve the use of military force, ministers believe. It's understood there are plans for the armed forces to use these powers in what is being described inside government as a ramping up of action against the ships. It's not known exactly when the first UK military action might occur. So it seems this action, the boarding of tankers that started in Venezuela, it's now incrementally expanding. It's not just going to be in and around Venezuela, ships running that blockade. They're just going to start seizing these Russian shadow fleet tankers all over the place. It looks like the UK is getting involved. And keep in mind, any oil leaving Western Russia would have to sail either south or north of the UK in order to reach the Atlantic. So if the UK Navy is going to get involved here, this could be setting the stage for a conflict at sea. Meanwhile, DOT strips California of $160 million over foreign truckers. Shout out to Craig Fuller from FreightWaves, who came on the channel a couple of weeks ago to talk about this very subject. The feds retaliate against Gavin Newsom after the state misses a deadline to revoke 17,000 non-domiciled commercial driver's licenses. A showdown between the U.S. Department of Transportation and the state of California reached a breaking point on Wednesday after Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, will withhold approximately $160 million in safety program money from the state. The move follows California's failure to meet a January 5th deadline to cancel more than 17,000 commercial truck driver's licenses that Duffy asserts were unlawfully issued by the state to foreign truckers. The California Department of Motor Vehicle announced in late December that it would delay the cancellation until March 6th, but FMCSA did not agree to the extension. All right, then we got a whole bunch of political rhetoric here. Where was the rest of it? They talked about it here. A nationwide audit issued by FMCSA last summer of non-domiciled CDLs, which allows individuals who are not U.S. citizens or permanent residents to obtain commercial driver's licenses, uncovered what government officials called a systemic collapse in California, where licenses were allegedly issued with expiration dates years beyond a driver's lawful presence in the U.S. FMCSA Administrator Derek Barsh emphasized that the agency would not compromise on the removal of these drivers from the road. So look, guys, there's a big crackdown in capacity that's happening under the Biden administration. These non-domiciled CDLs were like rubber stamped like crazy. Tens of thousands of these things nationwide, flooding the market with new truck drivers, suppressing truckers' rates, much to the detriment of U.S. citizen truck drivers, I might add. And now, as part of the wider crackdown on immigration, President Trump has started canceling these non-dom CDLs. California refuses to participate in this. And so California is losing this $160 million in funding. What this means is truck drivers are going to be doing a lot better because they're curtailing supply, right? They're curtailing capacity. That means the available trucks on the road will be less. So even if the economy enters a recession, we're probably looking at higher trucking rates, which means truck drivers are going to be making a better living. Now, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So that opposite reaction in this case means higher transport costs, which will also put upward pressure on commercial prices and retail prices, inflation. So that's one to keep an eye on as well. And we've got retailers. Abercrombie & Fitch shares plunge 17% as retailer cuts its holiday guidance. You know, first we thought it was going to be a terrible Christmas season. And then very late in the season, it comes on strong and we're like, all right, Christmas is going to be okay. And then today we're like, well, maybe it's somewhere in between those two. Some retailers provided early holiday results on Monday that showed the crucial shopping season was solid but didn't blow away expectations. So good, not great. Lululemon, which is preparing for a new CEO and staring down a proxy battle with its founder, said in a release that it expects its holiday quarter to be toward the high end of its previously released guidance. Shoemaker Birkenstock and thrift store Savers Value Village also released lackluster early holiday results, while Abercrombie & Fitch cut the high end of its guidance. Meanwhile, American Eagle and Five Below bucked the trend and raised their guidance after better than expected holiday results. So it looks like a mixed bag, some bad, some good. Abercrombie was the really bad one here. Look, that stock down almost 20% here, 99.90 and falling. This stock is getting clobbered this morning. And then we've got Five Below, which is one that raised their guidance. And actually, that stock is down as well. Let's get an accurate mark here. Refresh this. Down 1.25%, trading at $193. The other one was American Eagle, those Sydney Sweeney ads. Let's see how American Eagle is doing here. Down 9.9%. Didn't the article say American Eagle raised their guidance? Let me verify that for a second. American Eagle and Five Below bucked the trend and raised their guidance after better than expected results. And look at the stock down 10%. Retail is getting clobbered here. What the heck is going on? $24.10 for American Eagle. Yikes. All right. Last but not least, check out this one. And yes, this has implications for your retirement. Private credit's biggest business development companies are grappling with an investor exodus. The big money, the old money, some say the smart money, they want out. Investors who poured billions of dollars into private credit over the past half decade are now rushing to yank their cash from vehicles holding direct loans amid lower returns and fears over credit quality in the $1.7 trillion with a T asset class. From Ares Management to Blue Owl Capital and Blackstone, the biggest lenders were hit with a spike in requests from investors to withdraw money from their large non-traded business development companies in the 3 months through December. Investors in BDC's holdings more than $1 billion asked to pull a total of more than $2.9 billion in the fourth quarter, up 200% from the prior period, according to a report from Robert A. Stanger & Co., a boutique investment bank that tracks the industry closely. So the OG investors, the big institutions, they are yanking their money from these firms at a rate that is skyrocketing, up 200% from the prior period. But check this out. Even amid the withdrawal requests, many of these funds are drawing more investor cash than they're losing. So far, fund managers have agreed to honor all redemption requests. Remember, we talked last week about how Blue Owl and one of their, it was like their technology development BDC, that their requests were up to 17% that they were meeting. How is this possible? With record requests up 200% for withdrawals, and yet they're claiming they have plenty of money to meet all these withdrawals. The missing ingredient here that makes this make sense is your 401k and your IRA. The reason why they have plenty of money to meet these withdrawal requests is because of President Trump's executive order making it legal to park these dog shit investments in people's 401ks, IRAs, and pension funds. In other words, it is people investing other people's money, your money, my money, our retirements, into this crap that is providing the exit liquidity for institutional investors to get their money out. That's what's going on here. This is working people's retirements being used as exit liquidity. Exactly what I warned would happen when this executive order was signed. And you can see it happening here. They're not outright saying it. Oh, don't worry. Poor people's retirements is what's going to pay for all these rich a-holes to get their money clear before everything goes poof. No, they say even amid withdrawal requests, many of these funds are drawing more investor cash than they're losing. So far, fund managers have agreed to honor all redemption requests. Yep. Congratulations, everybody. Working people are once again exit liquidity. Hey, I just want to say thank you very much to the Pasta Man who says Minnesota daycare data credits in space. All right. How about a Minnesota daycare in space? I'm just saying, let's wrap all this up, bring this together. Best of both worlds, make a little potpourri. All right. We'll sell daycare credits in space. Sure. Why not? Thank you, Pasta Man, for the tie in there. Mr. Bart Stapleton, thank you, Bart, for supporting the channel for 22 months as a Melonhead. He says U.S. Mint Gov has silver eagles for $91. 91's with silver at 85, 91. Okay, that's average for silver eagles. I've seen in the last couple of months, I've seen silver eagles as low as, well, number one, I got some at spot. I was lucky, but that's not normal. But I've seen them around $250, $3 over spot for American silver eagles. And then in the last month or so, I've seen them spike up to where the lower end of the band is around like about $6, what you would say here, Bart. So that's probably about as well as you're going to do. Check out findbullionprices.com. Familiarize yourself with that website if you're looking to minimize your premiums and shop around a little bit. And also check out my friend Bob Coleman. He's got pretty good deals on silver on his website. But yeah, at 91 with silver at 85, that's halfway decent at this stage. Thank you, Bart, for supporting the channel. How do we say this? A VR Sim Racer. Thank you, VR Sim Racer, for being a Melonhead for 4 months. He says, Palantir butting heads with Gamers Nexus. Fun video. Gamers Nexus has been freaking awesome these last couple of months. Ever since they started taking on the AI bubble and the Chinese smuggling, I have a renewed interest. And look, I'm not a gamer. I don't speak a lot of the tech language that they use on Gamers Nexus, but I freaking love the journalism that they are doing over at that channel. So thank you so much, SimRacer, both for supporting the channel and for mentioning Gamers Nexus, guys. Check out that channel. Give them a subscribe and drop a comment while you're over there. Let them know that nobody sent you. Thank you very much, VR SimRacer. Armando Reyes, thank you, sir. He says, this is a war for whoever can take over the free world. BRICS, the Fed, monetary metals, crypto, the Dixie, to the victor, go the spoils. You know, Joe Brown had a pretty good take on what was happening in Venezuela, that it was straight up the dollar is the reason why we took over Venezuela. Did we really take it over? We took a guy, and then we told the people that we left in power, like, we'll pretty much kill you if you don't do what we want. So did we take it over? Time will tell. But you could make the case that the dollar was a very big player in that, right? The world's largest oil reserves now under control almost certainly will be traded in dollars, certainly not in yuan, certainly not to the Chinese, unless they pay in dollars. Yeah, that was an attack on BRICS. I could see that very much. And, you know, like I mentioned in the article about the UK seizing the boats now, guys, like this whole concept of international law and people like, oh, this violates international law. Within the next 2 years, nobody is going to care about international law. Might makes right. We are shifting towards a global conflict at sea. Get used to it, guys. The libertarians are going to have a hard time for the next couple of years. It's not going to be fun. Get used to it. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel, sir. Espresso Beanies, 8930. Thank you for supporting the channel. Says, not seeing a growth story for NVIDIA in 2026 with Rubin delayed to late 2027. I hadn't heard about the delay. I actually read that Rubin was in full production now. I don't know if that's real or not. And zero competition from AMD. Look, NVIDIA's growth story depends on, will they find enough other people's money to continue financing this boom? So far, they're still doing it. All right. There's been some stories like Blue Owl pulling out of that big data center in Minnesota. That was a big story. Private credit seems to have had enough of the AI build out, or at least they're starting to have second thoughts. The big question with the AI story in 2026, will government money be used to inflate this bubble? That's the big question here. These sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East, the oil sheik money, or just the US government outright paying to build these data centers and inflate NVIDIA's earnings. Some of the things we've seen from the government in the last week or so, it would not be much crazier than that. So I can't rule it out, but that's the big question with the AI bubble. Will government money keep it inflated? It's the only place in the world left where you can get enough money to do that. Thank you, Espresso, for supporting the channel. Metal Seer, thank you so much for gifting 5 Nobody Special Finance memberships. Welcome to the Melon Heads, you 5 baby melons. You be sure and say thank you to Metal Seer. And just a reminder, guys, when you're a member, you get 1 free super chat every month. Use that. I will read and respond to your thoughts, comments, questions, and concerns live on the air. Thanks again, Metal Seer. Nacho Man, big old pink one. Thank you for the generosity, sir. I appreciate that. He says, make it circular K, Mish. We're round tripping revenue, and there's Mish right there. See what they're doing there? We're round tripping revenue. I've been spending too much time covering this bubble. You guys are getting these ideas in your head. Thank you, Mish. Thank you, Nacho Man, for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much, guys. And welcome to the Melon Heads, you 20 baby melons, you. Ryan Morrissey, thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. He says, selling metals or keeping money out of the system? I am not selling metals here. All right. But look, most of my metals position, let me rephrase that. I am not selling any physical metals here. I have some trade positions. I own some mining stocks, some PSLV, some SLV calls. Those SLV calls probably getting to the point where I might start to move them. I've been selling them piecemeal on the way up. I mean, those things are like 600-700% in the green right now. So that's not really selling metals. That's just taking profits. And I'm probably going to roll it right back into something else metal related. The only case where I would actually sell, air quotes, my metals would be trading silver for physical gold. All right, trading the gold to silver ratio. And I've been meaning to do that for weeks. I just cannot get the time to get to the LCS because I've been so busy with all this stuff I've been investigating. So that I am inclined to do very soon here, trade some physical silver for some physical gold. Not all at once, though, because I think there's a good chance the GSR heads down into the 40s at some point, maybe even the 30s here. So, you know, I'm not going to do one big massive trade, all my silver for a whole bunch of gold. But I do plan to use trading the gold to silver ratio. And then if it ever corrects and goes back up to 100 again, trade that gold back into silver, increasing my weight. So, but no, I won't be going back into fiat. Not until I'm ready to buy something with that fiat. In the meantime, I'm going to use physical metals as a storage vehicle for my wealth, a way to save money free of their stupid casino and money printing regime. Thank you, Ryan, for supporting the channel, sir. Bob89 says, 13 years OTR driving after vid CDLs given to anyone. Yeah, you know, that sucks for a guy who puts in the work, gets a CDL, lives that life, which is a hard life, by the way. I mean, hats off to you truckers who are doing what you guys are doing to keep the stuff on the shelves. That's a rough existence, and these guys do it. And some truckers make a pretty good living. But after COVID, when we just flooded the market with any a-hole who filled out a form, here's your commercial driver's license, sometimes for like an afternoon of trading, and then he's on the road hauling a big rig, suppressing the wages of guys like Bob who've been on the road for 13 years. That sucks, not to mention the safety hazard they present on the road. So I'm glad they're cracking down on this. But people also keep in mind this crackdown on capacity will mean higher prices because the transport's going up means they're making more money. That money's coming from somewhere. It's coming from the consumer. By the way, the Dow transports have had a great couple of weeks here. And that's also blocking some typical recession signals that some of the algorithms look for, right? Usually a booming economy is led by the transports, and usually a recession would show up in the transports first. But because of this capacity curtailment, you're seeing a blocked recessionary signal. There's actually less stuff moving on the highways versus a year ago. But because of the capacity curtailment, the transport stocks are doing really good here, blocking that recessionary signal, at least to the stock market. So thank you, Bob, for everything you do, for keeping the stuff on the shelves. I appreciate that. Wish you a safe travel, sir. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melon Heads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out for the algorithm, should you feel so inclined. Appreciate all the generosity in the Super Chats. Everybody, thank you so much, as well as you magnanimous Melon Heads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. Thank you guys for supporting the channel. Links down below, should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, until next time, live small and dream big.